Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Welcome you to Restoration Place on the King James Radio Network. I'm Corbett Thompson. We thank you for stopping in at jamesisking.com. And this is a service of Restoration Christian Ministries out of North Brunswick, New Jersey, which features Pastors John and Darlene Bazemore. On today's episode, First Lady Darlene Bazemore is on the mic, and the title of the message today is simply Spring Cleaning. You know, it is springtime. It's that time of year where a lot of us will go into the garage or go into the tools, into the storage shed or wherever, and start to clean things out for the spring and, you know, kind of get rid of those things that we don't need anymore, get rid of those things that are kind of bad reminders for us or whatever the case may be. You know, we try to clean those things out, you know, and make room for some other things. And so that's really, you know, what spring cleaning is about. And spiritually, it's the same way. You know, God not just the springtime, but any time to cleanse us of the things that, you know, might be holding us back from really getting to know him. And the First Lady will preach on that a little bit more, but you know, basically alluding to the blood of Jesus as that very thing that cleanses us, that cleans us of those things that either we're not interested in anymore or that are, you know, like I said, that are holding us back. So First Lady Darlene Bazemore, she'll talk about that more in detail. So the title of today's message is Spring Cleaning on this edition of Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents First Lady and co-pastor Darlene Bazemore.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's such an honor to be before the people of God on this morning, and I just thank God for all that he has done and all that he is yet doing. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. Amen. And we're going to get started. Praise God. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you, Lord, as humbly as we know how. We pray, Father God, that I would decrease, Lord, that you may increase in me, Father. I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit would take complete control. Oh God, word my mouth, mold these lips of clay, oh God, to be used to the glory and honor of your name. We have already rebuked the enemy. We rebuke every spirit and distraction that's not like you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Father God, that you would minister to the people of God for the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to start out by just talking about the dreams that I have been having. And they were concerning because they weren't consecutive. I would say like I had one dream and then maybe two nights later I had the next dream. And then the following consecutive night I had another dream. But they were all surrounding the blood. So in the first dream, I remember being in, I was sitting in a place, it was like a house. I was sitting in a house. And I was amongst a lot of people, and I was sitting down, and I was called into another room. And when I got up and went into the other room, I had on light clothing. Pastor had asked me when I was telling him about the dream if the clothing was white or not. But I told him, I said it was so light in color that it looked like it may have been like a faint either sky blue or white. So I said when I went into the other room, Pastor was calling me to come out of that room so that I could come and sit back down where I was. But when I looked down at myself, I had blood covering me. And I had stretched out my arms because I couldn't believe all of the blood. And when I stretched out my arms in a parallel manner, I could just see my shirt. It was just drenched in blood. And it was drenched in blood under each arm. And coming in front of me, it was drenched in blood. And I remember that the pants that I had on were very light. They could have been white. And they were bloody. And so I was like, no, I can't come. I can't come to where you are. You know, I'm like, I need a covering or something, you know. And so he was like, why? Why not? And I said, I just can't come. I can't come. So I kind of woke up from that dream. And then a couple of nights after that, I had a dream that in that dream, I was in a place and I was washing my hands. And as I was washing my hands, you know how you're soaping your hands up in the sink. And I was soaping my hands up, everything was fine, and I looked over at the faucet, and then the faucet was pouring out blood. And I'm like, okay, this isn't right. And so in the dream, I'm like going all the way back to Exodus. I'm like, okay, is this a plague? What's happening here, you know? Is this in the days of Moses? What's going on, you know? And so I'm like, okay, what is happening? So in the dream, I went out to look for Pastor, and as I was looking for him, I looked on the street, and the street was real quiet, and it was a busy street normally, but it was very, very quiet. So I started walking down into this other place, and, you know, down the street and everything, and I didn't see a lot of people walking around. So in my mind, in the dream, I'm like, okay, did the rapture come and I didn't get caught up? I can't find Pastor. What's happening, you know? So you're going through all of these things in your mind, but I remember seeing the blood. And then there was one more dream that I had where I was in the bathroom. And that's why it's so concerning to me. And I was like, well, what, Lord, what are you saying? So I was in the bathroom, and I remember looking down on a surface that was white, and there was blood on that surface. And I remember looking back at the toilet seat, and there was blood on the toilet seat in like a puddle. And I'm like, what is going on? So I woke up from that, and I kept saying to Pastor, I was like, I don't know clearly what the Lord is trying to say to me, you know. So it inspired me to read about the blood. So to see if I could get some interpretation, to see if I could get some knowledge about why I was having these dreams consecutively like that. I mean, if you have a dream one time and you say, okay, well, you know, I dreamt about the blood. But when you have the dream like maybe in 1 week and it's three times, you're like, okay, God, you're not trying to say something. You are saying something. I just need to find out what it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I started looking looking up the blood and going back in the Bible and researching different things about the blood. And I, of course, I always go, as Pastor always knows that he teases me about, I always go to the regular dictionary to get like the dictionary definition, and then I go on from there. But blood is defined as the fluid circulating through the heart, the arteries, the veins, and the capillaries of the circulatory system. So the blood carries oxygen, and it carries nutrients to the cells of the body, and it removes waste materials and carbon dioxide. So when you think of the blood, there's life in the blood, as well as the blood also cleanses you and cleanses the body from what it doesn't need in order for you to survive. So when I thought about that, I thought about Jesus and how he shed his blood on the cross, that we might have life from the shedding of blood. There's life everlasting, as well as ridding us and freeing us from sin. As the blood was shed, we were redeemed and we were reconciled back to relationship with the Father. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Thank God. Hallelujah for the blood. Amen. The blood comes from God. God created Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man, and he became a living soul. The blood of Jesus also came from God, because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, mm-hmm. and the shedding of his blood was for the remission of our sins.
Come on.
When Adam sinned, it caused him to lose the glory and fall out of the divine presence of God. But God covered Adam with the blood. God brought him back into covenant through sacrifice and the shedding of blood. It was the blood that covered Adam, and the promises made to him that the glory would return.
Hallelujah.
When you see the blood, you also see the glory.
Yes.
It was the shedding of Christ's blood and the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us on the cross that brought us back into covenant with our Heavenly Father.
Yes, yes.
When there's a covenant, there's two parties. There's a divine party and a human party. Israel broke their covenant with God, so in order for us to be reconciled back to him, he said, I will become man and make a covenant with myself.
My God.
Glory to God. In Isaiah 45 and 23, in the New International Version, it states, by myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee will bow, and by me, every tongue will swear. Everything declared in his word, by promise or prophecy, it shall be. And it shall certainly, through faithfulness, be performed and not return void. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Every promise made to Abraham was made to the seed inside of him. Jesus is the seed. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we too are the seed of Abraham.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the Savior that can save without the assistance of anyone. Glory to God. Everyone in Christ is a new creature. According to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. You are the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians 3 and 16. You are heirs according to the promise, and you are part of the covenant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. But none of this could have happened without the shedding of blood.
Yes, yes.
In the Old Testament, Abel made an offering. But how did he know that his offering was accepted? He knew his offering was accepted by fire, which always came when the blood was applied.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus, the 12th chapter, Moses applied the blood. When they applied the blood to the top of the doorpost and to the sides, and then the fire followed it. When the fire consumed, that was left over.
Yes.
In 1 Kings 18, Elijah applied the blood, and the fire followed it.
Mm.
Why did the fire follow it? Through conversation with our almighty pastor? It followed him because our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The blood calls and brings back the glory of God. God will give us revelatory knowledge of the blood of Jesus that will bring the fire back into the church.
Hallelujah. Yes.
In Acts,
yes.
We're going to turn there in the first chapter of Acts. And we're going to just read a couple of scriptures from there. Glory to God. In Acts 4, first chapter, the fourth verse. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Skipping down to verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Skipping over to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak it with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The day of Pentecost, hallelujah, where fire, where their tongues were as cloven fire. God wants to restore the church,
hallelujah,
amen,
yes,
with the power, that same Holy Ghost Pentecostal power that was there on the day of Pentecost. He wants to restore the church, hallelujah, back to the place where it was originally. He wants to restore the people of God. He wants to refresh them basically bring them back to where he was in this place, where the Holy Ghost fire was there, so that miracles could be performed,
yes,
and so that healing could be performed,
hallelujah,
and so that deliverance could take place. Amen. It was that type of fire that was exemplified back in Acts that we need and that God wants to bring back to the church today. In Hebrews 4 and 14, it reads, and I'm going to ask you to turn there. In Hebrews 4 and 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Amen. God wanted a lamb as a sin offering to be perfect. Jesus was that lamb. He was the lamb that was slain for you and me. And by the shedding of his blood, there was the remission of sins that took place. Well, we all know that through the shedding of Jesus' blood, the remission of sin took place, but what else does the blood do? The blood redeems us. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and going down to 20, it reads, "For as much as ye know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Glory to God. The blood redeems us.
Yes.
There was a price against us that we ourselves could not pay. But Jesus' blood paid it all. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. The second thing that the blood does is it brings us into fellowship with God. In Ephesians 2 and 13 it states, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes we were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So we're brought into fellowship because of the blood. We're brought back into relationship because of the blood. The third thing that the blood does is it cleanses. In 1 John 7 and 9, I'm going to read there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. 1 John 5, 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." Hallelujah. So when the blood is applied, hallelujah, the blood, the anointing follows the blood. With these three being in one, the anointing is there.
Mm-hmm.
And the anointing is what follows the shedding of the blood.
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to God. I'm sorry, 1 John 1, and I'm going to read 7 and 9. I skipped ahead of myself. I apologize. 1 John 1, 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the blood cleanses us. Amen. It cleanses us from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that the blood does is the blood gives us power over the enemy. Power over the enemy that tries to speak to you and tell you that you cannot do things and that nothing is going to change and that, you know, the way things are right now is the way it's going to be. The enemy that tries to discourage you, the enemy that tries to keep you down, the enemy that tries to keep you captive. Well, in Revelation verse 12, hallelujah, and the 11th verse, it says, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb,
yes,
and by the word
yes.
of their testimony,
yes.
and they love not their lives unto the death." Amen. We overcome the enemy. by the word of our testimony.
Yes.
That's why we encourage you to give your praise report and to give your testimony, because other people can overcome by your testimony.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
They can overcome by the word of your testimony. Glory to God. We have the victory over the enemy. The enemy may try to come against you, but we are victorious through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. The next thing that the blood does is that the blood purges your conscience. And in Hebrews 9 and the 12th verse, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained internal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament," glory to God, "they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He purges your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
When he purges your conscience, He frees you from the old memories that you have of yourself. When he purges your conscience, he frees you from old sins. When he purges your conscience, he frees your mind from old bondage. Everything that had been holding you back and holding you down, that's what God is purging you from. Because he's purging your conscious mind. The conscious mind will have you do things subconsciously. But God is freeing you from all of those things that's been holding you back, the thoughts of you back in generational curses, as Sister Lisa told you about earlier today, the things that have been holding you bound. God is freeing you from those things, and he is doing it by the blood, by the shedding of his blood. The things that you have been asking God for, the things that you have been praying for, the things that you have wanted him to deliver you from and to take off of your heart, so that you're not carrying things, so that you don't have a heart of unforgiveness.
Yes.
Those are the things that by the shedding of blood that God is purging your conscience from. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He purges your conscience. Glory to God. When the blood is applied, a hedge of protection is built. That hedge of protection, it covers you, it covers your family, it covers your possessions, and with your possessions meaning your properties and the things that you own. The blood, when it's applied, this hedge of protection, it covers your endeavors, everything that your hands touch. The blood and that hedge of protection around you is covering. It covers your influence with people. It covers your influence in areas that you will have to walk as a disciple of Christ and as an ambassador. It's going to cover your feet. It's going to cover your hands. It's going to cover your body. This blood covers, it has a hedge of protection around you so that no hurt, harm, or danger can come against you. It's like in Job, when Satan asked God, well, you know, you're saying that he is, you know, your good servant, but you've got a hedge all around him. So, you know, the Satan was proposing to God, if you remove the hedge, then Job will surely curse you and die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the blood, it builds a hedge of protection around us. So just as it protected Job and his, it protects us on today. That blood that shed protects us and it covers us. A lot of times we say, God, cover that situation with your blood. God, cover me with your blood. God, cover her with your blood. We're always asking God to cover with the blood. Well, it's that remission of sins. It's that blood that's shed for us, for our protection and for our covering, that keeps us in relationship and in communion with God. It's over your life and your situations, God will do what we say. Mm-hmm. But we have to exercise that. We have to exercise the authority that God gives us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have to exercise and take charge over our lives. We have to take charge with the blood. We have to be able to know that our healing is in the blood. Our forgiveness of sin is in the blood. Our deliverance is in the blood. Hallelujah. Our redemption and our salvation is in the blood. Everything that we can ask for, it's in the blood. It's covered under the blood. Reconciliation with God, it's in the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We always sing songs like, there's power in the blood. The blood prevails. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to the words of the songs, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is that Lamb of God. And we have Jesus in our lives. And if we've accepted him as our Savior, then there's power in that blood. And that wonder-working power is now working through us, through the power and the authority that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The blood prevails. The blood prevails. Well, what does prevail mean? It means that it's going to continue on. It's going to last. The blood cleanses. The blood, it purges. It covers. It protects. There's power, hallelujah, in the blood of Jesus. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what's going to carry you. That's what's going to keep you. It's going to keep your mind. It's going to keep your heart. If you stay focused on him and stay focused on the blood and what the blood does, that cleansing power, that purging power, that delivering power, the power that covers your mind, the power that covers your spirit, the power that covers your body, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And it prevails because it shall never, ever go away. It's because the blood that we are here on today. It's because of the shedding of blood. Hallelujah. The word of God says that by his stripes we are healed. Well, he got the stripes on his back from the cat of nine tails, and the blood was released, piercing the flesh. Well, it's by his stripes that we are healed. Hallelujah. It was from the wounds in his side. Glory to God. The blood is what prevails on today. And if we could just get that into our spirit, that we are covered under the blood. It's Jesus' blood that is the only reason that we are here on today, and that we are in grace with the Father. It's because of his blood on today that we are here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that we can stand and we can sing, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. You're standing to your feet. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.